The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
On Thursday night, Ireland became the second country in the world to declare a climate change emergency. It was welcomed by environmental campaigners such as Greta Thunberg. But what are the implications for business? Are Irish businesses doing enough to tackle climate change? We're joined by Lisa Ryan, lecturer in energy economics in UCD, and David Maguire, founder director of BNRG Renewables. David, people will recall that moment in Al Gore's film An Inconvenient Truth, where he talks about his concern that we could go from this pendulum swing of denial to despair and not stopping in the middle for action. Is that moment finally upon us?
Well, I think certainly we've waited very late. But I do think there's a groundswell of movement and action beginning to happen, both with policymakers across Europe, but actually the popular support. I think there's been a lot of inaction in Ireland in particular over the last decade and the last few years. And now we're really concerned because we are the generation that's actually experiencing the impacts of climate change. But we're also the last generation that can really make a difference. And we have the technologies to make that difference. So I wouldn't say we're panicking, but maybe a little bit of panic is probably a good
thing
to get that sense of urgency going and actually get some action happening from a policy perspective and behavioural change.
And Lisa, just outline the scale of the challenge ahead. There's a lot of ambitious 2050 targets ahead.
Yes, we have huge targets. I mean, the government has signalled that and they've already put in legislation that we are going to reduce by 80% our carbon emissions by 2050. And the scale of that challenge is huge. It will require investment and change from all of us and from business. But just thinking about if you go through the sectors, you know, it means that the power sector, for example, by then will have to be, you know, like by 2030 already, the government has said that it'll be 70% renewable, which is a huge change. So by, you know, 2050, we're talking about nearly 100% renewables, really. And that requires a lot of flexibility, a lot of storage on the grid, as well as renewable technologies like wind and solar. Transport, we'll have no more fossil fuel vehicles. By 2050, they will be a thing of the past, really, apart from maybe in aviation, which will be the last, you know, the last man standing, reusing fossil fuels because it's difficult to replace it. And if you think of all our buildings, they will, you know, any building built by then will be a passive building. They'll all be insulated. We'll certainly not have fossil fuels being burnt in our buildings. Right now, you know, SEI released a report last year on our residential sector, and it was very interesting because average households in Ireland use 7% more energy, but in fact they use about 30% more, or 25% more carbon dioxide. So our buildings, our space heating, it's much more carbon intensive than our neighbours. So we use a little bit more energy, but we use a lot more carbon, and that's because we still are burning oil and coal in households in Ireland. There's lots of reasons for that. We can get into them as we go, but, you know, so there's a lot of things that will have to change, and many of these things will make us more comfortable and, you know, are things that we should be investing in anyway without the whole climate change challenge. So the scale is huge, but it's also something that we should be doing for our own benefit and our future benefits in any case.
Major fundamental change is needed. And for businesses and even our perception, David, abroad, do you think we have a perception problem? You talked earlier that we have been lagging, we've been slow. What has that meant for multi-corporations looking at us for direct investment?
There's no question. There's no question about it. I mean, we've got this reputation of Ireland, the green island, you know, and that branding is really important in attracting sort of foreign direct investment into Ireland. Now, some would say we're over-reliant on that, and that's a whole other sort of discussion, and there are concerns there too. But I do think we're becoming less and less attractive because a lot of these major corporations that are making investments want to make sure that they can source 100% renewable energy for whatever enterprise they're setting up in the state. So we slide down that attractiveness index with a lot of the corporates, particularly the RE 100 companies that are targeting zero emissions or effectively carbon neutral activities in a very short space of time. So I think we're in danger, and I have seen it already with, sort of, we do a lot of business in the US as well, and certainly this kind of feedback I'm getting is, what's Ireland doing? We're bringing on very little renewables. You know, planning is taking forever. We're really the laggard in Europe, and I think we're beginning to see we're losing out from business because of that, you know, and those opportunities.
So if we're the laggard, Lisa, what are the sectors, what are the types of businesses that we should be looking to that are leading the way? Are there examples that are kind of lighthouses at this stage for it?
Well, I think we have been working very hard in energy efficiency, improving our energy efficiency. And I guess on one side, so our industry is more on the energy services side rather than heavy industry. So in that sense, we're lucky in the sense that we have less heavy industry that's carbon intensive. And our businesses have been making good improvement, but there is a lot more that the small businesses could be doing, of course, and that's challenging for them, I think, where, you know, maybe they don't have the capacity to invest or they don't have the manpower. But there are more and more programmes out there that they can get involved in. So SEI has their SME programme or this Exceed programme where they can receive training and also investment, 30 to 50% grants if they want to invest in renewable or energy efficiency technologies. I think, you know, transport is an area where we really, really need to have a lot to do. And it's something that's, you know, a little bit intractable because we have such a large rural share of the population living in rural areas, so it's quite difficult to put in public transport in those areas. People are car dependent, so that's something that we will have to work very hard on. I think though in urban centres we could be doing really a lot more with public transport and urban planning to make sure that we don't have the sprawl that we have that leads to car dependency. So I disagree a little bit with David in the sense I think we have done quite a bit on renewable electricity. And technically, we have been, you know, we're actually leaders out there in terms of high shares of wind on the grid. It's very difficult to do in a system like Ireland because we're isolated. It's an island system with only a little bit connected to the UK, really. So that's quite difficult to do compared with Scandinavian countries who have huge shares of hydroelectric technology where they can store if they need to and then they can put wind on the grid. We just don't have that flexibility right now. So in fact, you know, I would applaud our engineers, I think, who have done good work. But of course, we can do a lot more. And the new subsidy scheme that is going to come out this year, the RES scheme, will sponsor a lot more renewable electricity. And that's something that we need to do because what we're going to have to do is convert all of our heating and transport really to electricity. And then we need our electricity to be decarbonised.
And in terms of then the carbon tax, for it to not feel like just another tax for people, it's going to potentially quadruple, I think, over 11 years. What are some of the options that the government should be looking at?
Well, I think we know already the problems that, you know, carbon tax, you have to be very careful how you introduce it because the public acceptability can be very low. I was looking at different countries around the world and it's very interesting. The countries with the highest carbon taxes are also the countries with the greatest trust in their politicians. There's definitely a correlation there. If people don't believe that the money, the revenue will be used wisely, they tend to be against it. So we have to look at what are we going to do with the revenue that's great. And we basically have three options here. One, we collect the revenue like we do right now and it goes straight into the government pot and we trust them to use it wisely. And that's what most economists would really favour. The second is that you give it back to the population pro rata, you know, as a lump sum to everybody in the house, or you could target, you know, vulnerable groups in the population. And then the third way would be just to invest it back into environmental technologies or subsidies for the carbon transition. And most countries are doing some kind of a mix of these three.
Is there an option there, David, that you would prefer?
Definitely. I think it should be ring-fenced. And I think it should be ring-fenced specifically to target climate change and impacts there. But I think on the vulnerable groups and the groups that it's you know, will be disadvantaged, if you like, to a certain degree. And I certainly feel, from business's perspective, again, it comes back to, you know, do we trust policymakers to spend the money wisely? And I think, you know, I think the public would be supportive of carbon tax if they felt it was focused and fair and actually that money was being reinvested in, whether it's retrofits into sort of lower income housing, etc. And that's what I think, you know, I'd like to see.
Great. David Maguire, Founding Director with BNRG Renewables, and Lisa Ryan, Lecturer in Energy Economics. Thanks so much for joining us.